Okay. Will do. That's kind of a way back thing, isn't it?
And
It goes
other
way
than
back.
Linda's daughter-in-law's mother,
Yep.
in a real
Bad state. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get started here. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us so that we could have eternal life and gather here and hear your word and the beauty therein of what has been done for us. It's a shame that this world doesn't receive it and accept it so that they can be edified and built up and go with joy in their heart about the things and the works that you've done for us in Christ. I pray that you'd grant me the grace to preach the truth this morning and have everyone here see that truth, and we can be united around the faith that's in your word, and we can just rejoice in what we have. Pray for the prayer request that's mentioned here, and also those things upon our hearts. We want to take this opportunity to lift those things that burden each one of us. Lift them up to you and pray that you work mightily in each given request and be done to your honor and to your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Last few weeks, we've been talking about the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. And so we're going to continue on with that and see where this goes. Hopefully it goes to a good direction. But anyhow, with that said, I want you to get Ephesians chapter 1. Bart, can you slide the volume down a hair? I'm getting some buzzing or something. Y'all hear it or is it just me? Yeah, slide it down. I don't need any distraction, trust me. Colossians chapter 1 and Ephesians. It's Christmas. I mean, let's show a little, you know, spirit here. All right. It's not even alphabetically correct for you guys if I go Ephesians and Colossians. So go to Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1. There. Does that make you happy? Anyhow, get those two chapters and each one of those epistles. We'll go to Ephesians first, since y'all are so demanding. But anyhow, in Ephesians chapter 1, look in verse, we'll start in verse 18, I guess. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Paul is writing here about Jesus Christ and about his resurrection. And I know the focus many times is on the third day he rose up, he met with the apostles. Paul is going much further in the resurrection of Jesus Christ than that, because it refers to him in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. But he didn't say he raised him from the dead and he walked the dirt roads. It goes further than that. What did he do? He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ by Paul was one in which Jesus Christ came out of the grave by the exceeding greatness of the power of God and raised him up and set Jesus Christ at his right hand. And when he did that, Jesus Christ is now placed far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And then he says in verse 22, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. We'll come back to 22 in just a minute. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, a lot of what was there in Ephesians 1 that we read is going to be in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15, who, and that who is in reference to Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So we see a couple of things there. First of all, that this book, the Bible, the Word of God that I've been talking about, elevates Jesus Christ to the point of being God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, you come here to Colossians, and you see there in verse 16, for by him, and that's a reference to Christ, for by him were all things created. So then Jesus Christ was the God in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. And so being the man he was, being crucified, he was raised up, set at God's right hand. He has the preeminence, which means like first in rank. He's the top person of everything, which Ephesians also tells us that when he was raised up, he was above all principality, power, and every name that is named. Now, the question would be in verse 16, for by him were all things created. My question to you is, and please don't answer out loud, but my question to you is, were we created? Now the initial answer is yes, because your mind is going to run back to Adam. God created Adam. Well, that's the only one that was created. After that, we are all born from that point on. But are we created? He said, for by him all things are created. He created all things. Are we created? Look in 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back to Ephesians 1 in just a minute. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know what the word creature means? Creation. That's what this word creature means, creation. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's our old fleshly nature. Behold, all things have become new in Christ, being a new creature. But that's not all. Go to Ephesians. I said chapter 1, but we're going to need chapter 2 to read the verse. Are we created? Let's see that. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Watch this. For we are his workmanship, what? Created in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. Are you created? Everybody that's trusted in Christ is created. It's a new creature that came up with Christ. It's interesting to note in Ephesians chapter 1, look in verse 22, and put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I see two portions of a structure of an individual there. In other words, I see by his ascension, he is the head. And have put all things under his feet. Well, what do you have between the head and the feet? Oh, y'all are good. You got the body. You know who that is? It's us. We are baptized when we hear the good news and we believe it. We trust in it. How that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and that he was raised again. Now, Paul refers to the resurrection where he's up. He's the preeminence. He is the head. He is over everything, and everything is under his feet, right? According to verse 22, put all things under his feet. So when he was raised up, everything is under his feet. Now, I know that by Romans chapter 6, we'll put the dispensation of grace here, and this is a time of the body of Christ, which ultimately will go out one day, hopefully today. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? And so that way you don't have to pay for your Christmas bills. Now, does that elevate it a little bit for you? Woohoo! So then, I know this by Romans chapter 6, when someone hears the good news that Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised again, and you trust in that, for by grace are you saved through faith, I know that the Spirit of God in this time frame goes to work. What is that? The Spirit of God takes an individual that's trusted, and the Bible says in Romans 6 that we are by the Spirit, we are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. By the Spirit, we are buried with him by baptism, and we are quickened together with him, made alive. Well, Christ died on the cross. So when was he made alive? The resurrection. He was quickened. He's a quickening spirit. He was made alive and raised up. And we are with him. So he is the head of the church, which is his body, which his feet are over everything. You know what that tells us? That new creatures have nothing above you. There's nothing that is above you because we're in Christ. Everything is below us, meaning we're out of reach. We can't be reached by the principalities and powers, the dominions out there, the devil and his angels. So this thing, when they chastise us about once saved, always saved, well, I know why we're once saved, always saved. Because when Jesus Christ was raised up, he was given the preeminence. There is no power above him. So consequently, if we're part of his body, the same holds true for us. So it's a good thing for us to be new creatures. All things were created by him. Well, we were part of that creation. Now, with that said, look in John chapter 21. Remember, the topic that I have here is the Word of God. And I'm going to go off a little bit and just show you some things, and we're going to come back to the future. We're going to come back to the Word of God. Please let me pull this off. It don't just happen, folks. Trust me. John chapter 21. John is writing in conclusion to the entire ministry of Jesus Christ, like he's looking back at the things done. In other words, we'll let this X represent the ministry of Christ starting here to his death. And John is kind of writing backwards as to what took place. With that said, look in verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You think Jesus Christ was busy for 3.5 years? If it was all written down in books, John is saying, I don't even think they'd fit in the world. I mean, that's how busy he was. In his preaching, in his healing, and everything else. That's how busy he was. So not everything that he did was recorded in your Bible. Obviously, the things he did that were worthy for our edification, our understanding, God preserved in the Bible so we can understand those things. But there are many things that have been done. Look in Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching. This is after the ascension of Jesus Christ. He's gone up in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, watch this, by miracles and wonders and signs, which he did so many, if you put them all in a book, the world could not contain the books. That's not written there. We read that in John 21. But it tells you how much work he was doing. The miracles, wonders, and signs. That is the point there. So, with that said, this is going to be the challenge. Stay tuned. Matthew 17. Now, what I'm going to cover here, I know some of you are not going to be able to follow, and that's okay. It does take teaching and time to understand this. So we'll start with the teaching and time right now and at least get started in it. I'm doing this to show you things that took place in time here, the signs, the wonders, and things of that nature. In Matthew 17, verse 1. In Matthew 17, 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, which is Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And I think, well, that's easy for you to say. It's a big deal for a human, a mortal, right? And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Jesus said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So you had Elijah come back in 2 Kings and do what he did in his prophetic mode. But Jesus Christ is talking about Elijah being John the Baptist. So it gets a little tricky here. So tricky, I don't know if I can do it. The transfiguration. It's interesting to know that 2 men show up there. Who is that? Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah show up in your Bible in Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 11. They won't be there by name, but watch. Look in Revelation 11. In Revelation 11, we're just going to go right into it. This isn't a Revelation study, so we're not going through a lot of verses. But verse 3, And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So, yeah, the 2 witnesses there. Those 2 witnesses are going to prophesy for how long? 1,260 days. Interesting. After we're gone, there's a time here of 7 years that the world's going into. After we're gone, this doesn't apply to us. Do you know how many days half of 7 years is? You just read it. 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. So you've got 2 witnesses, that's going to be testifying and doing all kind of miracles and bringing things on during this time. The Antichrist is going to rise up and going to kill him. So we'll put the little cross here. I always do that because he's going to portray himself as Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So he's going at the middle point here, the abomination of desolation will stand in the holy place, showing himself that he is God. So you have the two witnesses there. Now, if Israel had accepted the Lord, the prophecy should have gone like this. The prophetic timeline should have gone like this. The Messiah comes, they accept him, therefore, as the prophecies talked about Elias must first come, Elijah, it turned out being that John the Baptist, prior to Jesus Christ, would have been Elijah had Israel received Jesus Christ. They didn't. So John the Baptist was a forerunner and remained John the Baptist. But the prophecy is still going to hold true, meaning Elijah is still going to come before the Lord returns. When is the Lord returning? At the end of the 7 years, another 3.5 here, the Lord's going to roar out of Zion and deliver ungodliness away from Jacob, and then they're going into their kingdom. So before that, I know that Elijah is to come. It should have happened here. The key to it all not happening here is the fact that Israel rejected their Messiah. And you ought to be a little bit glad about that, because of them rejecting, God had a time frame of the dispensation of the grace of God in here where anybody, anywhere, could be saved by faith in Christ. That is the dispensation of the grace of God. And how do preachers miss it? It's the greatest time for the Gentile nations today. And they don't even talk about it. You think there's some powers that are working here in this world? Yep. Mystery of iniquity changes up the doctrine. So then, Moses and Elijah appear. They're the two witnesses. And it should have gone right into the tribulation. Back here. That's why in Matthew 25, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is the Antichrist, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, which was prophesied by Daniel, he said, run. Well, why is he telling them back here about it when here we are right now, today, 2014, we're 2,000 years later and it hadn't happened? Why are you telling them here? Because the prophetic program was this. They were to go into this time here. But it was based upon Israel receiving their Messiah. And they didn't do it. So John the Baptist would have been Elijah had they done it. So then in the Transfiguration, the two show up. Now this will solve a lot of things that people are confused about. Look in 2 Kings. Make sure I got the right chapter. If not, I'm going to have to just tell you, because I'm not that familiar with the layout of 2 Kings. Woohoo! I think I got it. 2 Kings chapter 2. Look in 2 Kings chapter 2. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And this is Elijah and Elisha. Elijah came first. They're having a conversation, and in verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a chariot into heaven. That's what they'd say. Elijah went up by, how did he go up? A whirlwind took him up. The chariots divided them apart. A whirlwind comes in and takes Elijah up. People see heaven. So they go, well, Elijah went on up to heaven. No, heaven, the Bible talks about the birds flying in the heavens. You'll be your clouds. Here's the thing. Elijah shows up here in the transfiguration. Elijah shows up over here in the tribulation. So what did God do? God took Elijah in a whirlwind and took him away. You can speculate all you want where he went. Nobody knows. I know why nobody knows. Look in Jude. Look in Jude. Look in Jude, verse 8. Who's grumbling? That is not good. Particularly if I don't tell a joke. I expect you to grumble when I do that. But in Jude, verse 8. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. That's some bad dudes, but watch. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So then the devil wanted the body of Moses after he had died. By the way, go back and read about Moses before he died. Do you know at 120 years old, his eyesight was not dimmed? He had perfect eyesight. It said his physical nature, the strength, was not abated. This was a strong, healthy man. But he died. After he died, the devil wanted his body. So the Lord sends Michael, the archangel, the fighter, and sends him down, and Michael didn't rebuke the devil. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. The word of God came forth and rebuked him. So what's the devil doing? He's trying to get the body of Moses. That happened before Elijah. Moses was way before Elijah. And the devil tried to get the body of Moses. So when Elijah comes along, God knows what the devil's going to try to do. Get the body of Elijah. So what does he do? A whirlwind takes him and hauls him off somewhere, don't know where he went, died and is kept there until this day. Nobody knows. So don't try to figure it out. And let me just add this. That whole thing of the whirlwind catching Elijah up has absolutely nothing to do with the foresight or prophetic or a hint of the rapture. No way. They're not even connected. God didn't give a hint with Elijah after Elijah goes up, it's written in the script, okay? The prophets all wrote it down, they all read it. They didn't read it. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Well, that's a rapture. They didn't do that. Why? Because nobody knew about the rapture. It was a mystery. It's a special event just for us. Folks, we're going to have a big limo come pick us up. And the driver's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to usher us out. That's as carnal as I can get it to you. What's a limo? I put it in my tea. That's a lemon. So anyhow, where was I before the limo took me off track? Because that was not scripted. You can laugh now, okay? Not while I'm reading and all. What chapter in Jude? So anyhow, you know what all this is about? The signs, the wonders of miracles. We could spend gobs of Sundays going over the signs, the wonders, and the miracles done by the Lord, done through the prophets, done through the apostles. We could just, and I just showed you these things to lay some things out. I pointed out Matthew 17 to give some of you that are not real learned and rightly divided how these things are segregated in your Bible. If you don't segregate, hence, rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to be confused. It always happens that way. So here we're dealing with this time. We see all of these things. Now let's move forward from there. And what is the topic about? The word of God. Turn to 2 Peter. Now, Peter was there, saw that vision. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's interesting, his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. What's he referring to? Probably what we read there, Matthew 17. And this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, we want to grab something real quick. This event, where it was Peter, James, John, Jesus Christ, and then the cloud appeared, and God Almighty was in that cloud. They never saw him, but they heard the voice. Incredible account here, okay? Peter knows about it. He experienced it. And then after going through that, he says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. After all that, all the signs, all the wonders, you know what it really comes down to? It all boils down to this book that you have. You have the privilege of having something more than all the signs and wonders that have ever happened in the history of this world, is the Word of God. It tells us everything God wants us to know. So, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We heard it back here. He's talking about the Scripture, is what he's referring to. So, it's the Word of God. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is when I do weddings, this great chapter to do is called the charity chapter. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, verse 1, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, you know, could speak, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Now, if you ever want to measure up your Christian life, everybody talks about the what would Jesus do, and you're to follow Jesus. I dare you to get 1 Corinthians here and chapter 13, verses 1 through the beginning of verse 8, and measure yourself up to charity that's laid out there. Give it a try. So verse 8 continues, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Folks, everybody, not everybody, a lot of people point when that which is perfect has come, and they say, well, that's when the Lord comes to get us. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about he's got to prophesy. The Spirit of God has got to give him this prophecy ability to preach what? The Word of God. And so Paul had this. He could speak in tongues. Look at where he went. Italy, Syria, Israel, the area of Turkey, all that area. Guess what they talk? Different languages. So God gave him the ability to speak in what? Tongues, languages. God gave him the ability to prophesy. Why? Unlike you, me, he didn't have a book, completed book to go to. He didn't tell the Corinthians here and go, all right, Corinthians, turn to yourselves in chapter 13. It was not there. He got to Corinth. They had Old Testament scripture. He would preach it, but he had to add to it with the mysteries and the revelations that God gave him, which were not in the book. So as he went along, he wrote letters. God put it all together. And guess what you have? You have the completed Word of God, and that is what's perfect. So the prophecies, they fail. The tongues, they cease. So don't let your little hyper dancers on the stage tell you about how the Holy Ghost is moving and come down here if you want to speak in tongues. It's the mystery of iniquity. Probably got a song there, Christy. Might want to work on that. That's in a B flat because I B flat. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So anyhow, that which is perfect is come. It's your Bible. Colossians, we read this a few weeks ago. We got to go here. Not leave, go, but go to it. Colossians chapter 1. Stay with me. We only got one more hour. Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is a church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to what? Fulfill the word of God. Folks, when it was fulfilled, it was done. You now have a King James Bible, which is the word of God. And all the signs, all the wonders that it accounted here cannot exceed the more sure word of prophecy, which is now the completed Word of God. You've got something special here. You've got a book that tells you your position in Christ, the salvation you have in Christ, the hope that's set before you, the eternal life, all your spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It's all right there. What a beautiful thing, man. Why would you need somebody who has a lower back pain walk up here? I bop them on the head. Now they're like, I feel almost good. A little leave, I'll be even better. Why is that special? When I can tell you, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you're a new creature. Not only that, you were baptized into his death. By the Spirit, you were buried with him. You're quickened with him. And now the head is above all things. The feet are above all things. And now the body is being fulfilled and you're part of it. You're a new creature, folks. And you're seated there above all principality, power, and every name that is named. There's nothing more to that. You are equivalent and associated with the Godhead. Think about it. You're part of it. Amen. No, Mike, it's a moment's past. Turn to Psalms. Next Sunday, we have to have some volunteers. Who's volunteering to pick up the 5-hour energy drinks before church and bring them here? That's going to be our communion, 5-hour energy drink. Psalm 8. In Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm, look in verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. How excellent is all thy name, is thy name in all the earth. Excellent. Looked it up. Get a little further meaning. It means great. It means majestic. It's not, it's okay. It's just another name. It's majestic. The Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, let me ask you, what do you think God thinks about this book? Think about it. What do you think God thinks about his word? Turn to Psalm 138. In Psalm 138, verse 1, I'll praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, little g, will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Truth is important. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. How excellent is the Lord's name in all the earth. And he took this book and he magnified it above his name. You've got something really special here, folks. It doesn't just sit on the coffee table. It doesn't just sit there, well, next Sunday. Where's my Bible? Oh, I think I left it at church. So from Sunday to Sunday, hadn't read, hadn't looked at a verse. That's light chastisement. He lifted the word above all thy name. And what's interesting in the verse, let's do verse 2 again. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Where do you get truth? The word of God. That's interesting. Turn to Ephesians and we'll close here. In Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So folks, when an individual trusts in Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins, was buried and raised again, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Nobody ever sees it. Nobody ever sees you getting sealed with the Holy Spirit. But how do you know you're sealed with the Holy Spirit? You can't see it. How do you know? What? By the Word. The Word told you so. So why would you look for some kind of sign and wonder when you got God working a spiritual work that the only way man can see it is by the revelation of the Word, him telling you that? You wouldn't know you're a new creature. I mean, looking at half of you, it looks like you got up this morning and felt like you were more of an old creature. I felt that way too. I didn't mean to just point it out to you. But we're all new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've been formed, born from the dead, in Christ, raised up, seated with him, far above all principalities, powers, and every name that is named. And we're part of the body, and the feet of Jesus Christ is above all those things. So nothing will ever get above you. Good news. Thank you. Oh, my God. Took me 48 minutes to get an amen out of this crew. Tough crowd, I tell you. Tough crowd. All right. If you can stand... Stand and wheeze. Lord, we thank you for this time and opportunity to gather here. We thank you for your word that you've magnified above your name. And we trust in it, and I know we take it for granted, but let our eyes be open to the beautiful truths that are in it and cling to it. As David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. And I pray that we'd do the same with it and carry it through our lives. And knowing that it'll never fail us and never let us down, that everything in it is truth. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. We give you thanks and praise for this time and opportunity. Thank you for those that are here. Pray for those that couldn't be here, for whatever reason that is. And until next Sunday, I pray that you keep us all strong in the faith. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.